So let's say you're working with somebody and you have a good therapeutic alliance and they're in a relatively safe life situation, but they're struggling a lot with anxiety, they're trying to avoid anxiety, and you see that they have a very aversive relationship to their anxious experience. Well, if the person is reasonably stable other than that difficulty, I want to show you an exercise now, and I'd like you to try the exercise with me, assuming you're feeling in a reasonably stable place yourself, because this can be a very powerful way to shift the relationship toward anxiety. So we will begin this as we begin most meditative practices, which is to find a comfortable seat, either on a cushion or in a chair, with the spine more or less erect. I'm going to do this standing up because that's what I've got set up as a filming setup, but I'll speak it as a standing meditation. And allow the attention to go first to the breath, to just notice what it's like to be breathing. And I encourage you to try this one yourself. And assuming you're sitting, feel the legs against the chair, the feet on the floor. You might imagine a string tied to the top of the head, gently elongating the spine so as to be able to have an alert posture. And we're going to start by just noticing the sensations of the breath, just how they feel in the body. And see if it's possible to bring the attention to the full cycles of the breath, from the beginning of an inhalation to the end of an exhalation and on to the next. So we're starting by just breathing together. And next, I want you to sense if you can identify some feeling of anxiety somewhere in the body. It might be subtle, or perhaps it's fairly vivid. And just feel the anxiety and feel all the sensations associated with it. Now, if you're not able to locate any anxiety, see if you can generate a thought to bring up some anxiety. Doesn't have to be your worst nightmare, just something to bring up a bit of fear. And now what I want you to do is to ramp up this feeling of anxiety to a level where you can really feel it. This is so as to increase our capacity to be comfortable with anxious feeling. And let yourself continue to breathe. Let the breath provide a kind of holding backdrop. As you ramp up the anxiety, you might be able to ramp it up by simply bringing your attention to the sensations of anxiety in the body. Or perhaps you need to generate other images or memories or fantasies to keep it going. But just get it up to a level where you can really feel the fear in the body. And breathe with the fear. Ah, my old friend Fear, I know you. You've been my companion since the first day of my life. You've saved me from so many misfortunes. Welcome back. and continue to breathe and continue to feel the fear. Now, if aversion responses to the fear arise, if you start feeling, oh no, I hate this, I want this to stop, just notice those are aversion responses. Those are the second arrow that we talked about earlier. And just gently and lovingly bring your attention back to the sensations of fear. If the fear begins to fade in some way so that you're not having it strong enough to be able to work with it, come up with another thought or image, whatever you need to ramp it up. Because we really want to practice befriending fear. Just allowing it to be there. Allowing it even to flourish. So just keep breathing and keep feeling the fear for another little while now. Ah, my friend. And notice all the different sensations that are associated with it. All the different tightnesses and how the mind works in response to fear. Perhaps the aversion responses. And now that you've given that a try, we're going to let the fear go. Now that doesn't mean we're going to drive it out, we're simply going to bring our attention back to the breath and let the anxiety or fear seek its own level. So now just come back to following the breath through its full cycles. Feeling the inhalation and the exhalation. And allow the fear to be there if it wants or not be there if it doesn't. Breathe a little more. And you can open your eyes again. And when I've done this with groups of clinicians, people have a lot of different responses. Sometimes they go, oh gosh, it was horrible. I couldn't, you know, I was so anxious. It was terrible. And typically what happened was the person got stuck in the aversion response. They started thinking, I want this to stop, and they couldn't get it to stop, and despite my gentle encouragement to just let it be there, they got into a fight with the anxiety, and that locked it into being a very unpleasant experience. More often what happens to people, and this happens particularly if you do it for a long enough period of time, is at a certain point, it becomes hard to maintain the fear. It starts to trail off a little bit. And a lot of times people have to come up with increasingly dire fantasies in order to maintain it. Now, I've had the privilege of doing an online course actually through NICABM for several years now, in which we do this stepping into fear exercise as a practice to do with your clients or patients during the between lectures. And so I've had a multiplier effect of many, many people trying this over the years. Probably, oh, I don't know, maybe even a couple of thousand case studies, if you will, of clinicians trying this with patients. And the interesting thing is what folks report is that if the clinician can have the courage to lead the client or the patient through this exercise, and not freak out too much ourselves thinking, oh my God, the client's going to get overwhelmed with fear, they're going to run to the licensing board and report me, I followed that quack seagull, this is a bad idea. If we can have the courage to not get caught in that kind of fear ourselves, almost everybody at a certain point has trouble keeping the fear up, trouble keeping the anxiety up. And this becomes a marvelous discovery for folks who struggle with anxiety, because you can ask them, well, most of the rest of the time, is it a problem staying anxious? And they'll say, no, that comes quite readily, in fact, all the time. But here it was difficult. And it can become a very, very valuable learning experience that way. I suggest when you do it in clinical practice that you give yourself a full, 20 minutes. I know that can seem like a long time, and of course you want people to have already had some exposure and experience with mindfulness practice to do it, because at least what I found is that nobody can keep it up for 20 minutes. That if you stay for the 20 minutes at a certain point, trying to keep our friend fear around, it tends to dissipate. And that becomes such a valuable lesson because it really underscores the role of avoidance in the process and helps people to trust that there is actually safety available in simply being with the experience of anxiety.